today on Real Radio.
Why do we struggle thinking that if I'm just good enough, God will accept me, when God does not accept that premise? He set a precedence, and that precedence is, if you believe in me, I declare you righteous.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Let's Make a Deal, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 3 today, verses 15 through 29. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. The Bible tells us through the Apostle Paul that before faith came, we were held prisoner by the law. What then was the purpose of the law? The law was added because of mankind's sin and acted as a moral code until God's promise of redemption came through in Jesus Christ. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. And now that we're justified by faith, we are no longer a prisoner of the law. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the law was meant to magnify our weaknesses and expose our frailties. And so, having been overwhelmed by our sin, we are driven to the foot of the cross as we cry out to the Lord to save us. And now, continuing his lesson called Let's Make a Deal, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Chuck Missler says that when we worry, we are assuming a responsibility that was never intended to be ours. Think about it. You ever see a five-year-old walking around the house, wringing his hands, wondering how the mortgage is going to be paid? Never. Why? Because he is not worrying, he's not assuming, he is not taking upon himself a responsibility that's not his. That's important. God's promises came first. Most remarkable thing is to realize that God the Father here in this verse not only promises Abraham, look at it, verse 16, he says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. Listen, God the Father here is telling us from the scripture that God the Father promised to Abraham and God the Father promised to the capital S seed, who is what? Who? Christ, the Messiah Savior. So when God made his promise, yes, he made it to Abraham, but he also made it to Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How old is that truth? Anybody? Forever. God didn't say, oh, Adam and Eve, they just blew it. Now what am I going to do? No, before Adam and Eve ever were created, God knew they were going to sin. He engineered within them the ability to make a free moral choice. Thus, man's responsible. But God, who never had a beginning, nor will ever have an end, knows the beginning from the end. And built into the redemption, creation, the act and the will of God, salvation through Christ. Nothing catches him off guard. You know, where were you last night? I said, Pastor, really, not talk about it. God was with you. No, he was there. What did he see? Everything. He saw it all, man. It was dark. Mm-hmm. But even where he is, says the scripture, though there be darkness, there's light about him. God's got infrared, if you want to think of it that way. He saw it all. He said, well, I love the Lord, and I fell, I blew it, I died. Mm-hmm. He knows that. That's why the Bible says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. He's there. But because the promise was given to all those who put faith in Christ, listen, sin now cannot keep you out of his family. If you are born again and you're in the family, sin doesn't throw you out of the family. It breaks fellowship while you're in the family. But he doesn't excommunicate you from the family. He doesn't perform some spiritual abortion. He doesn't do that. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, God is with you. And if you traffic through this world in sin, he's with you, convicting you and scolding you. And sometimes he'll have his patience to a point, and though he's forever patient, he knows just how far you can go, and he'll deal with you in those matters. But the fact of the matter is that God's promises come first. And God speaks to Abraham, and not only that, we have the guarantee, as the scripture says, he speaks his words of promise even unto Christ, which is a great thing. God, by the way, cannot lie. What he says, it is true. Now look, even if I tell you, I promise you, look, I promise you we'll have, a third service today and a fourth service today. I promise you. Do I have any power to fulfill that promise? Well, if you were a man of your word, like you said a moment ago, that you would do it. I can't do it. I can't. If I tell you I'll pick you up at 5 o'clock, I may really intend to do that. But if I, listen, I have a blowout on the car tire, if something happens and I can't make it, even though I have great intentions, I'm weak in performing the promise. Are you with me? Oh, I promise God I'll never do that again. Don't say that. You may intend to do that. God bless you in your effort. Well, I made a promise to God like that, and I never did it again. But did you think the thought? See, when you speak of the law or faith in Christ, do you look to the law in the performance of it? Or have you been frustrated to the point where you need a promise? You need a promise from God, not from any man. The gospel sets us free. The law cannot change the promises of God. And listen, God's promises came first. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Isn't that great? He can't lie. It's impossible. So he says, is there anything God can't do? Yes, he cannot lie. How do you like that? Remember George Washington? What did he say? Yeah, he said, I cannot tell a lie. That's a lie. I mean, I love George. He's a great guy. I've been to his house. I've seen him and Martha laying there in their tombs. By the way, his tomb is surrounded with scripture at the foot of George Washington's tomb. He's buried above ground. At the end of that granite tomb, there's a pillar, and it's got four of his favorite verses from the Bible engraved on that. I'm sure he was a great guy. But George Washington's a liar. You're a liar. I'm a liar. We're all liars. Well, I can't believe I got up to be insulted this way. I walk into church, this guy insults me. Listen, the Bible says we're all liars. It's in us. Isn't that sad? Just make a promise. Now, guys, listen carefully. Don't ever say what I'm about to tell you. Ever. When your sweetie says, now promise me that you'll never, fill in the blank. You'll never, leave me standing at the street corner or whatever it is, whatever, promise me. Just say, okay, I promise. But here's the truth. You can't keep the promise, even if you intend to. You can't do it. We get so caught up on that, when in reality, God's the only promise keeper that ever has been, is, shall ever be. Now, am I implying that you should just take a haphazard, carefree approach to God? Absolutely not. But you do have to approach God properly. And Jesus says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. And the law is not the way to Christ in salvation. As we shall see, the promises come first. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Beautiful news. The law cannot change God's promises, not only because God's promises came first, but look at verse 17. God's promises are unchangeable. They don't change. Verse 17 says, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God. I would circle the word by God, and circle the word in Christ. That's key, my friend, that it should make the promise of no effect. A promise that can be changed is not a promise at all. It's false hope. The law came later, says the scripture. Why? Because God was establishing a precedence. What is the precedence? This is important that all of us understand this. Why do we struggle thinking that if I'm just good enough, God will accept me, when God does not accept that premise? He set a precedence. And that precedence is, if you believe in me, I declare you righteous. For those who are struggling with that, God has given the law to show all of mankind their inability to be perfect. Did you know that? Well, I thought the law was from God. It is from God. I thought the law was good. It is good. I thought Paul said the law is holy. It's very holy. But the law cannot save you. You say, well, I'm confused. Maybe this will help. I think right about now, the Indianapolis 500 is underway, or should be. Would you enter that race today in that field of 33? Would the 33rd car be a dump truck? Well, people would think you're a fool. Can you imagine somebody coming out of the infield with their motorhome? You hear, gentlemen, start your engines, and wah, 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 wah. And then there's this guy with his motorhome. And the flag goes, and this guy's going. People would be laughing. They'd be going crazy why you don't enter a motorhome into an Indy 500 race. It doesn't apply. It's the wrong vehicle. It's got four wheels. That's all it's got. It's four wheels. It can roll, but it's going to lose. In fact, you'll never make it to the first turn. You're going to flip over. You won't make it. And so somebody says, I'm going to go to heaven by keeping the law. Oh, look at me. Woom, woom. Here I go. And ring. And flat on your... You don't even make it to the first turn. You crash. You're going to fail. Because that law was never given by God to send a man into heaven. Are you ready for this? The law was given by God to cause a person to stand before their conscience condemned. Really? Condemned. Sold under sin. The law magnifies our weakness. It magnifies our frailty so that we are driven by the law to the feet of Christ and we say things like this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What must I do to be saved? Peter said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Now, did Jesus jump out of the boat when Peter said that? Can you imagine? Oh, Peter, you're right. Ugh! Mm. If there was ever a time to walk on water, it would be out of that boat and away from sinful Peter. Get away from him. Peter says, Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus knew Peter was sinful before Peter was ever confessing such a thing. Charles Spurgeon, if you can read anything by Spurgeon, read it. You'll be a blessed, great stuff. Charles Spurgeon says, I'm so glad that God called me into his family before I was even born. Because he certainly wouldn't have called me after I was born. He has promised before time began. Unchangeable. His unchanging love for us, his unchanging promises to us. God in his attribute is an immutable God, meaning he doesn't change. It means that he's permanent, he's endless, he's perpetual, he's ceaseless, he's enduring, he's constant, he's stable, and so are his promises. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen to the glory of God. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 61, 1 through 4 says, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle for how long? Forever. And I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Now, how can the psalmist be so sure of that? Because God's promises never change. Isn't that good news? Now, I don't know about you, but do you ever get depressed? Now, hear me clear on this. There are fits of depression that are chemical. You should go to a doctor, and while you're driving, ask God to heal you too. It could be a chemical imbalance, something going on. That's one thing. But I think for most of us, we have this season of being in and out, up and down, dark and light. So many times, because we can get so busy about doing important things. Now look at your day timer, look, and this is really important, okay? I have a wife and I have a secretary. I have two daughters and a female dog. I have women telling me to do everything all the time. You're going here, you're going to do this. Honey, mow the lawn. Dad, can I have any money? And the dog just wants to sit on my lap. Pull, pull, pull. What's important versus what's urgent? See, the thing is, you and I are pulled constantly from all kinds of angles by urgent things. This is urgent. You need to, this is urgent. Do you realize if you responded to every urgent thing, you would never get around to doing the important thing? I know. If you're not there by a certain time, oh, and what? Somebody's going to have to trust in God? Wow. If you don't get this by, and what? God can't interrupt my life with what he wants to do? Oh, I know that this almost sounds blasphemous to our culture in the 21st century. But Jack, my day timer's got it, my secretary's day timer, we got the Palm Pilot, the computer comes out, the thing slaps you in the face when you're late, there's an alarm going off, there's this thing happening, we got the fast track speed pass, we've got... urgent. But what's important? I've got to do this thing. Why? I've always done it. And so we get up and we wonder why we're so depressed. We get up and we fly into the world and we got all these things going on. We're so busy about our own business rather than our Father's business. And we've got our wheels so spinning that we hear the sound. We hear the motor running. We've got the wind blowing, you know. We've got the cell phones. We're conquering the world. And then we'll insert, for Christ. Yeah, that's right, for Christ. And then at the end of the day, we're grumpy, irritable, bummed out. We wonder, hey, what's the deal, God? Haven't I been serving you? Haven't I been this? Haven't I been doing the other? And way, way back early in the morning, we left Jesus on the street corner. We spent time getting ready. Our hair, our face, our feet, our clothes, our nose, whatever. But we didn't ready our soul for the day. And many times our depression, my depression, is because I'm so busy about doing urgent things that I don't stop and do the important thing. And then I get caught under the grip of feelings. You know what that's like? Have you ever felt like not coming to church? Shame on you. No, I'm kidding. I feel that way. I get up. I don't want to go. I ain't going to stay home. My wife says, get up. You're preaching today. Are you nuts? You got to go. I don't want to go. I know I should go. I don't want to go. I don't feel like going. You ever had those days? Look at today. Today's a great day to stay home. Some of you are going, that's what I was telling her. See, honey, you need to listen to this guy. Next week, we'll stay home. No, man, sometimes we don't feel like that. But listen, the scripture, as we've done today, we've come and we've offered up a sacrifice of praise. We've come. And then God begins to move. He begins to bless. Why? He's made promises. His word will never return void. When we're depressed, listen, here's the deal. It's cheap. It's free. It's not cheap. It's free. Costs God everything. It's free. Instead of popping a pill, pick up the Bible. Try that first. Okay? Very important. Many times we're suffering under pressure because honestly the answer is we're not in the Word of God. We're not reading the Bible on a consistent basis. I know this is true. Don't tell me it's not true because when I fail, it happens in my life. And then I'm subject to feelings and they begin to lie to me. They begin to tell me things. They begin to rip me off. I begin to think weird thoughts about people. And I begin to wonder and doubt relationships. Hey, does he like me? He didn't even say hi to me. He didn't even say hi to me. What's with that? You know what? He probably knows something. And you go nuts. Listen, walk with God by faith, not feelings. They'll rip us off. Jeremiah 33:11 says, the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, what do you think Jeremiah wrote that? Because Jeremiah needed God's mercies to endure forever. His mercy endures forever toward all those who will bring to him the sacrifice of praise into the house of God. That's what you're doing right now. His mercy endures to ever for all of you who are here today. Now, those people out here on this holiday weekend who didn't come to church, well, no, God's with them too. Anyway, Psalm 136, great psalm of the Bible, very encouraging. Psalm 136 has 26 verses. And 26 times it says that the Lord's mercy will endure forever. Isn't that good news? What does it say about every morning when you wake up? You have what? New every morning. What? Mercies. Isn't that great? We get up, we say, oh, it's Monday. Oh, mercy. And God says, got mercies for you. New mercies. Come and get it. And we walk in the mercies of God. And we walk in the grace of God. I tell you, the grace of God is amazing. Begin to meditate and think about how much grace it gets, or it takes, I should say. How much grace does it take to get you or to get me through one day? Grace is God's unearned favor. I want to suggest to you this morning that most of our favors we get from God, we probably miss 99.5% of them. And the ones we do get, we take for granted.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Let's Make a Deal. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you grow both in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's Make a Deal is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, I know you've always got your finger on the pulse of things to read and things to watch and whatnot. Is there anything special you'd like to throw out to our listeners today, just for grins?
Yeah, you know what? Recently, we've been talking about the church and all and various topics. I want to encourage all of you to just take advantage of a resource that is out there. It's a lot of fun. I share it with a lot of young people, but it's just a blast, everyone. Take the time to write this down. If not, you can visit our website and get the details more if you miss it. But I'd like you to go start checking out on a regular basis a website called gotquestions.org.
I'm putting it in my notes right now.
Absolutely. Gotquestions.org. It is a wonderful, quick reference, safe. It is, when I say safe, I mean it is conservative, biblical, Christ-honoring, God-exalting, high view of Scripture website where you can read on any topic. You can put in homosexuality, baptism, church, evolution, environment, death, heaven, hell, angels, demons. You can put it in there, and you're going to be given about a 3 to 4 minute Bible study on that topic. It's a whole lot of fun. It's great to use as a conversational piece with believers and non-believers alike. Gotquestions.org. I highly recommend it. Go there and make it your own.
Gotquestions.org. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. You can look for specific lessons. You can look for specific topics if you'd like. And while you're there, be sure to check out the videos that Pastor Jack makes. Listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love seeing him on the TV or on the computer screen. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Catch up on some programs that you might have missed. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.